Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the One of Us Community Podcast. This week we're doing Whiskey on the Rocks Part 3. So, like we talked last month, this kind of came as an unplanned event where Whiskey came back on the podcast. We kind of just chatted about whatever, ended up doing a pretty good community news and review. So, we're going to try and do this on a monthly basis. So, this is the second revision of that. We'll talk about Ninja moving over to Mixer. We talk about some of the new community news, some upcoming things for the community, and then just general streaming and content creation news, and obviously answered some Discord questions. So going forward, we want to make this a little bit more structured monthly kind of event to take a look back at the last month of the One of Us community, highlight people's achievements, highlight some amazing things that have happened in the community, and, you know, continue to do any sort of news and upcoming events for the One of Us community. So this week, just be me and Whiskey. So sit back and relax and enjoy another episode of the podcast with myself, Roxy Roller, and Whiskey Tango. So what's up, everybody? Episode 34 of the One of Us community podcast.
No shit. 34 already?
34. Can you believe that? I mean, wow. we're like coming up on like 1 year.
No shit.
Yeah. That's 52, right? So that's another 19 episodes.
Yeah. Wow.
It's pretty wild. But yeah, so if you guys couldn't tell already, my co-host here is Whiskey Tango. We're going to do another episode of Whiskey on the Rocks. This is part three now. This is like the third time you've been on the podcast.
I think so, yeah.
But we kind of talked last time we did it about maybe doing this on a monthly basis and kind of doing a little chit-chat here and there. We can fit in some community things, like if there's anything been going on in the community. But yeah, pretty much just a chance for us to catch up and drink some whiskey.
I don't need an excuse to drink some whiskey, but no. I definitely enjoy having this this monthly talk about what's going on in the community and just shooting the shit, that's for sure.
So I guess we should start this episode the way we start all the Whiskey on the Rocks. What are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking my new favorite bourbon, Buffalo Trace.
Buffalo Trace, I've heard of that.
Oh, it's so good. So good.
How much does that run you for a bottle?
No, it's not even that much. It's like $30 bottle. 30, that's not bad at 30, all. 35 max, I think. But
that's not bad at all.
Yeah, it's like it's the best bourbon you can get for that price, I think.
Hell yeah.
I think it's like a family owned distillery.
You know where it's from? Like where it's out of?
Well, technically all bourbon is supposed to be out of Kentucky.
Oh really?
Yeah, like it's almost like a champagne thing. Like you're not technically supposed to call it bourbon unless it's been made in Kentucky.
Interesting.
I'm almost positive, but I'm gonna have to just Google myself and do the Joe Rogan thing. It's entirely possible that I'm wrong.
Unlikely, but very possible. I'm battling a major sinus infection today, so I put my whiskey into some coffee, and it's nice.
Yeah, so technically you can make it anywhere in the United States according to Google, but it's strongly associated with Kentucky. So if you want to make your bourbon right, it's supposed to come from Kentucky.
I mean, that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. It's one of those weird liquor things, like champagne is only supposed to come from Champagne, France.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I think you're legit not allowed to call it champagne unless it comes from there.
I mean, that kind of makes sense, right? Because it's literally the name of the place that makes it.
Yeah, that's true.
It'd be like if your bourbon was called Kentucky.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to in the last month or so?
Oh my God, this week has been rough, man. I was working.
Yeah. You've been traveling, huh?
Yeah, I was in Virginia all week. So actually, last week kind of sucked because that was the third week in a row that I didn't get to stream. And like I only been streaming like one night a week, usually for like the last like I don't know almost a year probably now, I don't know whatever it's been a while, but yeah. So I was kind of pissed off. I was like, oh shit, I'm not gonna get to stream this week either. But I'm hoping this week coming up will be a good stream. I'm looking forward to it. And then the fucking mad scramble for the week after is just stressing me out.
Why? What's going on the week after?
I don't know. It's just this thing. It's just this thing that I've been working on.
This small doodad.
Yeah,
I saw you making some scenes today.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm pretty positive in the last Whiskey on the Rocks. I said I was going to be scramble on the 10th mm-hmm. to try and get everything done. And yeah, that's exactly what I was doing today. I was like, I didn't mow my lawn. I didn't even get to go in my pool. I didn't even leave the house. I've just been like fucking working in my basement on different scenes and cutting, trying to edit together an intro video and like million other things for it. So
do you think it's going to come together by the 22nd?
Yeah, I think it will. I don't think that I'll be happy with whatever it is that I do come up with because I think that at this point now, like I genuinely feel like it's been too hyped up and I can never live up to the expectations.
You're No Man's Sky at this point.
Exactly. I'm going to be releasing a really terrible multicolored piece of shit.
So when's the official date? What did we say? The 24th?
I think it's August 22nd. Whatever then Thursday.
Oh, it's a Thursday. That's right. Because you stream on Thursdays. I forgot about that. I don't know why I thought it was a Saturday. No. This is a stream on Saturdays. Come on. Oh,
weekends are for working around the house.
But I think like to your point, like you're kind of like me, right? Where you're never gonna be completely happy with it because you're always gonna find some things that you can improve. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think like episode 10, I'll finally have like a set of like resources that I'm using that I'm confident in, and I think that everything is good and it's an all right show at that point. But
yeah,
episode 1, I'm gonna hate it. I know I am.
I'll be honest with you, though, that's kind of like how I am with the podcast.
Yeah,
like part of me wants to give like Rob a second episode because he was like the absolute guinea pig, right? Yeah. Right, I had no fucking idea what I was doing. I don't even think we had Discord questions.
I was just gonna say, did he even have Discord questions?
Yeah,
like, I don't think he did.
So I'm gonna have to talk to him. Maybe we'll do a Robert M. Catalano Redux.
I think you should definitely, because he didn't even get Discord questions, and I know, considering who he is, and he's brought in a lot of the people here, so I'm sure they have questions for him.
Yeah, no, especially because like with shit, that would have been December. Like the first episode was like the middle of December of last year, right? Yeah. So how many like more people have come in and would be interested in hearing a Rob episode? So
that's true. Yeah,
you get it here first, folks. Rob, when you hear this, hit me in those DMs. Let's schedule Robert M. Catalano part 2.
I think that's necessary.
But yeah, because I look back at like some of the older episodes, like where like you said, the first episode you're kind of getting your feet wet, deciding how you want the show to look.
Yeah.
And you're right, it wasn't like, I don't think it was till like maybe Skids episode where I was like, all right, I think I'm actually getting a hang of this.
Yeah, you got a good format.
Know what I'm doing? Yeah. Format's the biggest thing, I think.
It
right?
is
because once I developed the format that I liked. Right. Because now I have like my checkpoints. Right. So like 30 minutes is where I want to be before I start switching over to Discord questions.
Yeah.
And then that way I can flex from there. But since I have the format right and you've got your process, then everything happens quicker because you're not spending so much time screwing around with post-production and stuff like that.
Yeah, true.
That's part of the reason why like the 1 year anniversary podcast took so long to post-produce, because I didn't have like enough experience under my belt on how to do a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it ended up taking me 14 hours to edit, but
oh my God,
with some of the new tools that we've got, I bet you we could do that again and be in pretty good shape.
Yeah. Well, that's, I'm definitely thinking that the first episode, like it's because I got to figure out what segments fit where and like what's going to keep people interested throughout the entire show. Like, because you don't want to like have everybody tune in for the first 5 minutes and then be like, okay, well, I don't like anything left. Like,
yeah,
I'm trying to make it an actual. I'm trying. This is the first time I'm trying to create actual content, I think.
Right? Instead of just, you know, being whiskey and just getting drunk playing video games.
Instead of just being my normal asshole self playing video games.
All right, that's fair. I mean, from what I've seen, like, and I think the big advantage you have is, like, you're good at making those types of scenes. Like, the bar scene and stuff like that. So, like, that alone is going to be enough to pull people in to be like, well, I want to see, like, all these crazy scenes that Whiskey made, you know, for his green screen.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. And that's another thing, too. Like, I'm putting work into it, but, like, it takes so much time to make all these different scenes and find the different images and then cut them out and paste them all together in Photoshop and shit. It's like...
Yeah.
They come out pretty simple after like 2 hours of work. And I'm like, all right, well, I can build on these throughout, you know, the show, but this will be my starting point for now.
Yeah. So, and like, I feel like there's a lot of things like that where like you could spend hours and hours and hours, you know, working on designing and stuff to the point where you never end up implementing them.
Yeah.
And like one of the things that I wanted to mention that, you know, I think might be useful for a lot of the streamers in our Discord and some of our listeners is that a company called Streamloots, I don't know if you ever heard of them.
I've heard of them, but I don't really know what they do.
So I use them for a little while in my channel, but essentially what they let you do is you can design these cards, right? So they almost look like Magic the Gathering cards.
Okay.
So they've got an image, right? And then they've got some text underneath them. And viewers, instead of just donating a dollar or two through Streamlabs, they can donate through Streamloots. And they'll get a pack of these digital cards. And the cards can have, like, can, you know, have an effect for whatever you want. Like, so I had some of them that played GIFs, like, right on stream. I had some of them that played, like, specific songs. Some that would make me play with a controller. Like, all the way up to ones that would have me eat, like, a spoonful of Ass Blaster hot sauce. And, but it was like a really fun way for like my community to be able to like engage with stream. And, you know, you get a little bit more for your $1 to $2 donation than just your name popping up on screen.
I remember that. I remember when you first implemented that and I thought it was pretty freaking cool. I was wondering how you did that.
So it took me the longest time to actually roll it out because I kept doing like the design side of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to make these cards like fucking perfect, this and that. And eventually I got to the point where I'm like, you know what? I just need to get these out there and see if people even like them before I spend 40 hours designing cards.
Exactly.
But the reason I brought it up is, so after the move, Ninja's move to Mixer, a lot of these companies have started to notice Mixer all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And Streamloots has added a lot more Mixer integration and actually integrated now with MixitUpBot and things like that. So it's definitely it's an interesting new way for people to monetize their content and add a little interactivity to their streams.
It's kind of in my mind, it's kind of sad that it took something like that for companies to start recognizing Mixer.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I love Mixer. I've been on Mixer for a while now. And it was smart of them to do what they did because they needed that legitimacy to come in. But it's just annoying to me that it had to be done that way because they were like, well, people are not taking us serious. We need to do something about that. And then, I mean, and I really don't have anything against Ninja. I honestly never really watched him. Mm-hmm. I think I watched a little bit of him when he came to Mixer, when he first came, just to see what all the fuss was about. I will say, he's pretty damn good at Fortnite. I don't like Fortnite, but he was pretty damn good at it. I don't know. I just think that's my taste in content is not really what he provides. Granted, I think, you know, the millions of followers he has would disagree with me, but
probably
that's just me personally.
Well, and I actually like myself, I sit on kind of the other side of the fence of that, in that the high level of gameplay that he provides, even without, you know, some of the direct interactivity, I enjoy watching. Like, I don't really like Fortnite that much, but Fortnite played at an extremely high level is fascinating to watch. Like, to try to figure out how these guys can make these moves and things so quickly and so like effortlessly. you know, because they're getting to the point where, like, if they're in a build battle, they're trying to knock down the opponent's wall and replace it with their wall before the opponent replaces it with their own wall so that they can edit a window and shoot them through the wall. Like, that type of, like, strategy and, like playing and, like, thinking is just absolutely insane.
I totally agree with that. I mean, and like I said, when I watched them play, I was like, my mind does not work that fast anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel like it definitely used to when I was younger.
Yeah,
when
maybe.
I was actually good at games, but it just doesn't anymore. I think I've re-engineered it to do other things at this point. Like, my mind is really good at different types of things now.
Right, yeah.
I play games, but I definitely don't play them like I did when I was a kid. That's for sure.
Oh, definitely not. Yeah, I look at, like, even, like, not even just, like, Destiny, but, like, other shooters that I play, and I feel like my abilities to, you know, have quick reactions and do some crazy things have definitely dwindled in the past 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, granted, it doesn't help that literally every time I play a video game is on stream and I drink on stream. So yeah,
right. it definitely doesn't amplifies the situation.
It doesn't help that I'm inebriated 90% of the time I'm playing a game.
So how do you feel, like, other than it being Ninja, you know, and this and that, like, how do you feel about the idea that, you know, the streaming industry might be moving to this point where, you know, your top tier creators are almost treated the same way athletes are, where these different teams, these different platforms can sign them to contracts and you know, and things like that.
I think it's cool. I think it's really cool. I enjoy it. The idea of it, like, I think that part of me is a little almost feeling like I missed out, because I feel like if I was younger during this whole shift, I feel like maybe, like, oh man, you know, there's part of you like, what if you could have done something like this when you were a kid, because you were pretty good at Halo, but there wasn't really, it wasn't mainstream back then. And like, I mean, obviously it's not that big of a deal, but there's part of you that's like, oh shit, you know, it's kind of, you feel like you kind of missed out on that. But I did get to witness a lot of cool things, you know. I mean, I was around before the internet, technically. You know what I mean? Like, it's cool to have been part of that generation that grew up and saw all of these things take hold and unfold and become mainstream and things like that. It's really cool. So, I do like it. I like all of it. Maybe you could say a little jealousy, I guess. You know?
I've thought about it too. Like, even if I had found, like, streaming and content creation or taken it more seriously, like, when I was in college, because obviously in college, like, I was doing the YouTube thing, like, we were making skate videos, but, like, back then nobody ever thought, you know, about, was never focused on making money off of it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right. And it's like, man, if I was still in college and I found, you know, live streaming, right, and I had a little bit more of the time and I still had the skills, right, and I could focus my mind enough on that to actually take a shot at it, like, where would it be now? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I remember YouTube when it wasn't owned by Google. Like, and a lot of people don't even realize that. Like, YouTube wasn't ever, like, at one point it wasn't owned by Google. Like, YouTube was its own thing. And, like, the main, like, draw for YouTube was just like, I want to get views. Like, it had no monetary value attached. You just, like, you wanted people to get, you know, views on it. Like, oh man, look at how many views I got. Like, so it's crazy, but it's cool to see how far it's come. It really is.
I think it's an interesting shift for the industry, because you're getting to a point now where, you know, it's always been that, you can make a lot of money streaming, but it's volatile money, right? You can make, you know, $100,000 this month, and you can make $20,000 the next month.
Yeah, there's no guaranteed money there.
And now with, like, these contracts, you're getting to the point where, like, content creators could sign a contract that says, we're going to pay you X amount of dollars plus X percent of your sub revenue, and they know that their family's going to be provided for, right? And they can focus on making good content and this and that without pushing themselves to burnout or you know, pushing themselves into health issues, trying to stream as much as possible so that they can, you know, pay their bills.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely interesting. It's a different type of job. Like, yeah. I have a pretty good job security in a sense. I'm not making what a, you know, high-paying content creator is making, but they are also not guaranteed anything, really.
No. Yeah, I mean, you still have the question of things like benefits and retirement and,
yes,
you know, a lot of that falls on you to provide.
Yeah, but
it's an interesting concept still.
It is, and not everybody's ninja, so not everybody's making millions where they're like, okay, well, you know what, I don't have to worry about anything anymore. I mean, yeah. I'm at this point, I'm doing it just to try and make more money because I can. You know, you can be that mid-tier where it is like your livelihood technically depends on your streaming career. Yeah. And what you're putting out. And if you're not putting out something that's getting you the views you need, you could technically be making not enough money to pay your mortgage next month or something.
Yeah.
Right? It's like,
yeah,
that's scary. Real talk.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I, and that's why, like, I think, like, especially in the position I'm at now, right? I've got a house, I've got a family, I've got a son. And it's like, to make that jump, I would need to be into some serious money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know when Ninja started, but I suspect it was while he was still living at home.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure it was like 7 years ago or something like that. Like, he's been streaming for a long time.
Yeah, I feel like that kind of a leap, that kind of a dedication almost requires that you have the ability to fail. Like, you have the ability to fail and not destroy your livelihood.
Yeah. But it's been really good for Mixer though. I mean, I've seen a lot more
absolutely.
Seen a lot more attention like on Twitter and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, about Mixer and people interested in coming to Mixer and things like that. So it's been really good. And I've heard at least from some of the people on the team that there has been a trickle down, you know, people are seeing bigger numbers just from having him on the platform.
It's crazy. I haven't streamed since he's been on Mixer. So I haven't been able to gauge whether or not it's going to affect my streams at all. My streams are pretty low key compared to most people's, but it'd be interesting to see. And I do think it's good for Mixer in general. Like, I don't want to sound like I'm being negative about his move here. I think it's a great thing for Mixer and all of the streamers on Mixer. I've said it before, a rising tide raises all ships. And anyone who's on Mixer is in one of those ships, you know? So it's definitely a good thing.
I mean, if you look at it, right, I just pulled up his page.
Yeah.
Do you know how many followers he has right now?
It's got to be over a million, right?
It's 1.4 million followers on Mixer.
Wow. That's definitely the most I've seen on Mixer.
I mean, that's in like a
week. By far. Yeah.
Like that's, and those are registered users on Mixer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true. That's true. I've never seen that many registered users on Mixer in one location. Like I think I've seen is like a couple hundred thousand, and that's like very rare.
And his first stream, like that first day that he streamed on Mixer, I saw him at like 75,000 concurrent viewers. And like,
that's
a lot of active users for Mixer. Like, I've never, you know, the next highest stream was like 7,000 and it was Monster Cat.
Fucking Monster Cat.
But it's definitely interesting. It'd be interesting to see how this plays out.
You sure it was Monster Cat and it wasn't Dancing Gandalf?
I mean, it was one of those two. They flip-flop back and forth, you know? It was still... People were still farming Sparks, though, so I think it was still Monster Cat, because everybody hosted that one for, you know? So what have you been playing, if anything?
Fucking nothing. Well, I won't say that. I have been playing on my Switch just little bits here and there since I've been traveling and stuff like that. Yeah, makes sense. And I at night, every once in a while, I'll just lay in bed and play on it. It was a good deal. I think it was totally worth $250 that I paid for it.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I don't think I would. I don't use it $300 worth, but $250 is totally.
What games are you playing on your Switch?
So I kind of flip flop around to a bunch of different stuff. Like, if I get bored easily of something or I get stuck, I'll just switch to something else. But I've been playing the new Doom, which I already technically played on PC, but yeah. It's fun, mindless violence before bed. Yeah. I'll play that, Breath of the Wild, my friend Pedro, and Mario Kart. Mario Kart I usually play just because it's like, I'll just pop in a race or something and mess around.
And my friend Pedro was one that you were telling me about that you thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. It gets a little frustrating, but it's like when you pull some stuff off, you're like, oh shit, yeah, that was fucking cool.
What is the game? Like, how does that?
It's like a side scroller, but a Max Payne side scroller where like a sentient banana talks to you.
Wait, no.
Okay, so let me just bring it back for a second. The sentient banana is almost more like your guide or your tutorial.
It's like your ghost in Destiny.
Yeah, almost. Okay. He just kind of pops up to tell you things, and I don't really understand it because I haven't gotten that far in yet to maybe explains why there's a sentient banana.
Yeah, I mean, makes sense.
But you're basically taking out like street thugs and shit, but you can like jump off of walls, do like spins. You can dodge bullets by doing like spin moves where both your guns are pointed out in two different directions. You can do like flips through the air and then pause or freeze time almost in like super slow-mo and like shoot in one direction or take both guns and shoot in two opposite directions. Like it's very like action hero-esque in the way that you can kill people. And it's pretty satisfying when you pull it off right.
That does sound dope.
Yeah, but sometimes when it doesn't go right, you're just like, fucking shit, mother... just throw die.
The switch across the room.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
What about you? You still playing a lot of Destiny right now, I guess, right?
Dude, I've been playing Destiny and Skater XL. Like, those are the only two games.
Yeah, I see you playing Skater XL a lot.
I've been trying this, I set a goal for myself to put out some sort of content on a daily basis. Whether that's I live stream or I put out a video or I release a podcast or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've been writing a lot more like for my blog. And then kind of adding those as like audio podcasts as well. So
just you been have trying a blog. To like, what is the blog address? You say you have a blog?
Yeah, it's right at rockcityroller.com.
Rockcityroller.com. You heard it here.
Super easy to find. Yeah.
Check out
that blog. It's kind of just been me writing whatever I think about. Usually I'll sit like at lunch and I'll type something up at lunch at work and then later that night I'll post it. And then I have a good buddy named Seftimore and he does a similar thing. He writes for a blog. His is more like life coaching type of stuff.
Yeah.
But he's always recorded his, like he's read his blogs and recorded them as podcasts and released them on like a daily or semi-daily basis.
Yeah.
And he made a point. He's like, he goes, let people decide how they want to consume the content. He goes, so if you release it both ways, people that want to read can read and people that want to listen to it can listen to it. So what I've been doing is as I've posted blog posts, I've been recording them and adding them as podcasts to this feed. So I think I have one right. Up about Destiny. There was one about like loyalties, which is interesting because I made a blog post in a podcast about how we have these strange loyalties to platforms and no platform owes you anything.
That's very true.
And then 2 days later, Ninja jumped from Twitch to Mixer.
Perfect. I remember I called it. Yeah, I saw that one too. That was a good one. If you guys aren't checking that out, you should.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I've been up to. And then spending lots of money on a new basement.
Nice. Yeah, that's exciting. I can't wait for you to get a nice stream space going.
Dude, I'm so pumped. This new space is going to be so dope.
Yeah, dude, you're gonna have to buy a lot of those diffuser tracks and just RGB the shit out of it like I did mine.
Yeah, dude, I want this thing to fucking glow. Like, I want my neighbors to look in that, like, because they're like those half basement windows, and I'll have blinds up, but like I want them to see this like strange multicolored glow coming from this basement window and be like, what the fuck's going on down there?
That's exactly what's going on in my basement right now. I seriously have so much RGB lighting, and I'm adding more. Like my desk has it, my keyboard, my mouse pad. I have the lamp that I showed you with the RGBs on it. My couch is going to have some of those diffuser tracks with more RGB lighting. And I'm thinking about adding more to the front of my desk, which I'll say it right now, like a white and black desk is fucking awesome for RGB lighting because
I can imagine
is so good for reflecting all that color.
But yeah, so yeah, we're like, God, we got to be like maybe 2 weeks out. So I ordered the carpet. That's going to be the last piece.
Oh, nice. You're doing carpeting down there, huh?
Yeah, they're finishing the trim tomorrow. And then paint will finish up Monday and Tuesday. And electrical will finish up Thursday, Friday. And then the following week, they'll install carpet. But yeah, I mean, it was a concrete basement floor. And we didn't have enough headspace as it was, so I didn't want to build a subfloor or anything like that.
Yeah,
I didn't want to have to worry about trying to lay like wood floor or anything on uneven concrete. You know,
it's funny because that's literally what they did here.
Oh, really? Yikes!
Yeah, it's not so bad on my side. On the other side, you can see that the concrete has started to deform a lot of the wood flooring because they didn't put subfloor. They were just like, fuck it. We're going to lay some wood floor right over this concrete.
And it works if you've got a flat concrete floor, but like we don't, you know.
And definitely on this side that I'm in right now has a flat enough floor, but the other side definitely didn't. And they were like, fuck it. We're still doing it.
Yeah. So we went with carpet, right? And obviously that cut down a little bit of cost. And then we took that money and we invested it into the carpet pad, right? So we've got a thicker, a little bit, cushier carpet pad. That'll so it won't feel like you're walking right on concrete, you know?
Yep.
So it should be real nice once we're done. But then I have, you know, the anxiety of disconnecting two stream PCs and all these monitors and putting them back together and praying that they work.
Oh, no, you'd be fine. As long as you're not taking components out of them, I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, it should be okay. It gives me an opportunity to set things up the way I want.
Yes.
Because, like, I've kind of hobbled this together, like, as I've gone along, right? And some things make sense, but some things were just like, well, it's here. I'm just going to run wires to it because I don't really feel like ripping everything apart just to test this out.
That's literally exactly how my old setup used to be.
Yeah.
And now that like I had this basement space, I was like, all right, I'm putting everything the way it needs to be. I'm putting both PCs up against the wall. I put them on shelves so that they're not taking up floor space. Like
exactly. Yeah, like the stream PC is on my right hand side, which is fine. But you know, I'm when I'm playing shooters, like I aim with my arm, right? I need to be able to swing my arm around.
Mm.
And my keyboard and my monitor are right there. So it's like small stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then setting the audio and the cameras, you know, in a more sensible manner will be nice for doing the fresh setup. So I look forward to it, but it'll be a lot of work.
Yeah.
But then the other thing I'm looking at is I've got a lot more space down there with the new layout. And I was looking at that Oculus Rift S, man. That $400 price point is like a smooth price point to get into VR.
I'm not going to lie. That's probably the best price point I've seen on a VR headset.
Yeah.
Cause it comes with the controllers, right?
Yeah. It comes with everything like out of the box. You're like ready to go.
Yeah. So that is pretty good. I have a slight bias against Oculus just because I hate Facebook and they're owned by Facebook. And I don't particularly like the way their software runs. Okay. Like I have Oculus software on my gaming PC because that was when VR first came out, I was like, I'm buying it all. So I bought the very first Oculus and the very first HTC Vive. And when I bought the Oculus, there were no controllers. So that wasn't even a thing for Oculus back then. And the Vive was the only one that came with motion controllers.
Yeah.
So I got both of them, tried both of them. The Vive was clearly the loser in visual fidelity, like field of view, it had slight benefits. Their lensing was slightly clearer in peripherals. Yep. So mm-hmm. like out of your peripheral vision, it was technically a little bit clearer. But the sweet spot was much clearer on the Vive. And then the only thing that bothered me was that the software that they run is just always running on your computer. Always
oh, really?
Running. Yeah, and the privacy policy they make you accept basically says that they can monitor like your shit while the software is running. But they make it sound like it's only going to be when you're playing VR, but that's not even the case because it's literally just always running when your PC is on. So like that kind of bothered me. So like and especially with streaming, like I don't want unused processes just like eating up cycles on my CPU. So I always kill it on the PC unless I'm using it.
Yeah, I guess you could always hard kill it, right?
Yes, that's exactly what I had to do, is just constantly hard kill it. And so that was annoying. But that aside, I will say that price-wise, that's probably the best headset you can get for that price.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's what I was saying. Like, and that's a number that I can swallow to be able to spend on something like that. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, honestly, if anything though, it'll be like that toe dipping in the water, and then you'll be like, okay, well, now I need more.
It's like when I built my first PC and I'm like, you know what? I'm not really going to get crazy into PC gaming. Like,
yeah.
I'm just going to get myself like a 970. Like, it'll be okay. And, you know, here we are today.
Exactly.
You just got to get that taste.
That's what I said. I was like, I'm going to buy the Vive and the Oculus, and then whichever one's better, I'll keep. And then I'll just sell the other one. And now I have four headsets. I have not sold the other one.
Uh-oh. Coda's man.
I heard that.
Coda, what's going on, bud? Yeah?
Intruders?
Must be. Don't they know we're recording a podcast here?
I know, right? How fucking insensitive of them.
Inconsiderate.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about before we get into some questions from Discord?
I don't know. Let's just talk about the current events. How do you feel about this Jeffrey Epstein killing himself? It's Jeffrey, right? I think it's Jeffrey.
I think so.
Epstein.
I saw that on Twitter today, and then I realized that I am so out of touch that I don't know who Jeffrey Epstein is.
Yeah, it's fucked up. Like, the dude could have supposedly, like, he could have implicated like so many people, and like everyone's saying, like, even people who are not conspiracy theorists are like, I'm a conspiracy theorist now, because the dude was supposed to be on like suicide watch and somehow managed to kill himself.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, I was just fucking around. Now you can go to Discord questions.
Well, you know, the other thing that I want to talk about, did you see Obi's new intro video?
Oh my god, yeah, it was great.
Wasn't that fantastic?
It was so good.
I had no idea what he was trying to do. He's just like, send me a video clip of you dancing to the Seagull song.
Yeah.
Right? And I completely spaced on it until after stream one night, right? So I did one where I danced to the beginning of the song, and then I smashed, like, I crushed my elbow on my desk and just kind of fold over, just dying as I just, you know, demolished my freaking elbow.
Oh my god.
Then I saw his actual, like, the actual video, and oh my god, it was hilarious. So many people from the community,
I know,
turned out and put in some awesome stuff.
It was really great to see all the people who came out and sent him videos. It was pretty great. I'm not gonna lie, I sent my video to him like the night of that he was doing the editing, and because I wanted to send him one, and I just procrastinated and like kept forgetting. So I was literally like already pretty drunk at the hotel after work in Virginia, just last week when he, like, the day before he released it. And I was just like, fuck it. Let me just do a video of me listening to the song and fucking then I'm going to chug some whiskey. Exactly. I was like, that was the maximum capacity of my creativity at that point. So I was just like, fuck it. I'll send him that.
Everybody was so shocked.
Yeah, I know. He was like, I'm going to put it in. I was like, dude, you don't have to put it in. It's fine.
Oh, my God. Because Moody asked about it. He goes, what did you think about Rob's ass drumming fetish?
Well, I hear that it's like the talk of the mixer community. Everybody's talking about Rob's ass drumming.
I heard it's trending on Twitter.
I think he's got like something like a million views. Like,
yeah,
I think
it's 1.4 million. Yeah,
I think so. It's more than Ninja's followers. The video of Rob drumming on Obi's ass, which was done live, by the way. That wasn't even like he didn't use a clip of Obi.
No,
Like Obi flew out from England and like Rob drummed on his. No, he didn't.
It was crazy. I mean, when you got two big partners like that. I mean, true. They got money.
When they have that production, that fucking partner money, that Rob and Obi money.
Oh my god.
I'm jokes aside, they are killing it. They are.
Oh yeah. I mean, I always say like the Achievement Channel, like on our Discord, is like my favorite to watch.
Yeah.
Because like there's so many people that are hitting like these crazy numbers.
It is.
It's wild. And it's only gonna as Mixer gets more popular, it's only gonna get bigger, you know?
I know. It's crazy to me to think that like this is the place that they chose to share that achievement.
Yeah.
Like that this is where they if they feel any small part that our community had something to do with it, that's amazing to me. Like,
yeah,
it's really cool for sure.
I mean, to look back at when we started this, right, and then how many people we have that, you know, feel like this community is enough of a part of their achievement that they want to post it in our Discord, like is insane.
It really is. And I mean, like, I'm part of a lot of Discords, but I honestly don't know how many Discords there are that are as active or have as many people as ours does.
I know. Usually I'm one of those people that like I don't like to like I like to make sure that all the messages are clear.
Yeah.
Right. So that there's no like quote unquote new messages that I haven't read. But I can't even bother with like reading everything on ours. It's there's no way.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like I'm just gonna go ahead and do this. This is a little nice thing here. Let's I'm gonna say general chat. I'm gonna look at it right now. I'm gonna do some shout outs. We got Console Gamer, 20XX, Mr. Tingles, Priest, Chaotic. Well, Chaotic's part of the team. Chaotic is also killing. I was watching her play some Call of Duty the other day. She was actually pretty fucking good. I never actually watched her play.
She asked about that. She sent me a question. She said she wanted to know what your thoughts on the gameplay were.
Oh, what? Did she say that? I didn't see that one. Yeah, no.
She DM'd that to me. That was a secret question. Because she forgot about it and then DM'd me like 5 minutes ago and was like, can I still send a question?
That's funny. Yeah, no, it was fucking good. I was watching like this is actually like reminds me of when I used to be good at games. Like she was just fucking killing it.
Yeah.
I had never seen her play, and it was not that it was surprising.
She's a Call of Duty sweatlord, for
sure. Super sweaty.
Yeah. Did you you ever play Call of Duty?
I did. I was really good at it too back when it was Modern Warfare or Call of Duty 4, and then Modern Warfare. Those were like the two big ones that I was in into. But that was also again because it was a long time ago, and I didn't have a lot of responsibilities.
Yeah, I hear that. Have you watched any of the stuff from the new Call of Duty coming, like the new Modern Warfare coming out this fall?
It's funny. Salty Steve keeps trying to get me to watch stuff on it, and I've been ignoring it. I'm like, I just don't have interest in Call of Duty anymore, man. It's just the same fucking game in my eyes. Like,
you know, I haven't in a while. I think because I stopped playing it. But AJ bought Black Ops 4 this year. And I played a little bit on his account. And I have to say, like, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And that's things impressive. I've been hearing about the new Call of Duty suggest that it's looking pretty good.
Yeah. I heard, they're taking, like, a page out of Battlefield's book or something. They're trying to make some destructible environments or something like that.
Yeah, but I guess they're trying to kind of reboot it back to, like, the Modern Warfare days.
Okay.
Hence the name.
What is the name?
Modern Warfare.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't even realize.
So I guess it's supposed to be kind of like a soft reboot of like the Modern Warfare series.
Gotcha.
But then they said there's going to be a BR coming out in springtime that's going to be free. So this time you don't have to buy the game to play the BR. Like the BR will be free.
Gotcha.
But the game's going to be completely crossplay. So whether you have it, you're playing on Xbox or PC or whatnot, everybody's playing together. Which
that is a benefit for me. As I'll say that that's the type of thing that right now where I am in gaming is beneficial to me, because I kind of, like I said, I really don't get to play a lot of games these days, and most of the games I play are on stream. So when a game comes out and it's crossplay like that, that means that I can play with more of my audience.
Yeah.
So it's totally a benefit, and that actually might be the selling point for me.
I think that's the one that's going to push me over the edge, because I've said in the past, like I want to support crossplay games, because it does give me the opportunity to play with a lot of the One of Us community that I can't currently play with.
Exactly.
You know, a big thing coming through on August 21st is Destiny is getting cross save. So I'm going to be able to go in, I'm going to be able to select my PC character set and say, this is the characters I want to use. And I'll be able to play with those on any platform, right? So say there's a day that I want to jump over and play Crucible with Palp or, you know, something like that. I could do that with all my same characters, all my same guns, all my gear. I don't have to worry about not having anything on the other account.
Yeah, that's really cool. Because you're primarily PC too, right? Like
I'm like exclusively PC.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, I'm also exclusively PC. So when a game is crossplay like that, I can play with people who play on Xbox. It's a huge benefit.
Yeah, and so I've played my Xbox once in the last year. And that was because I lost a bet with Boots on the Ground. and I had to play Destiny with them on Xbox.
That's funny. Literally all I use my Xbox for is to order UFCs.
I don't even use it for that anymore.
That's all
I'm thinking about putting it back like down in the basement, like in the new like living space.
Yeah.
Because Little Man's getting to the point now where like he's kind of getting interested.
Oh,
so
sure.
I figure I could pick up some like Lego games, or if there's like Zook Tycoon is on Game Pass.
Yeah.
So it's like I could buy Game Pass Ultimate and like I could play Zook Tycoon like on PC, and then he could play it on the Xbox down there.
That's cool.
So that might be a good use for it, but we'll see.
Yeah, crossplay has a whole different meaning there.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah, because I'd be able to play with my son.
Yeah, that's cool.
Man, I can't wait until that day.
I know. I'm thinking you're like you're waiting for that.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be sweet when he can fucking carry me in Destiny.
I know those reflexes are gonna be so much better.
Yeah, I'm gonna build a channel off of it. Free Destiny carries. I'm just gonna have my son carrying people.
youngest Mixer streamer, youngest Twitch streamer, whichever platform he so chooses. Because I mean, you can't force him, right?
Yeah. I don't know if I would make him, like I could do that. Like I see, like because obviously we watch a lot of kids channels on YouTube. Yeah. Because he likes all these like different ones, and like I see a lot of like these channels that are like focused on like these young kids, like, you know, playing with toys or stuff like that. Like I'm sure they dig it, but like,
yeah,
it's kind of like manipulating your child for like money. You know what I mean?
That's just the media industry in general. Like
I know.
That's all, like, every commercial out there. Like, and I will say I have seen a lot less of them in, like, the past 10 years. Like, there used to be so many commercials for toys for kids. Yeah. Like, when I was younger, at least. Well, that's, you know what? I can't even say that because I really don't watch commercials these days. I usually skip them because everything I watch is either on Netflix or DVR on my TiVo, which allows me to just literally press channel up and skips all the commercials.
Oh, my God.
But awesome. I still remember, like, all those friggin', like, toy commercials with, like, crazy sets that they would build to play with the toys in that didn't come with the toys, but you were, like, it totally sold you on the toys. Like, yep. You're like, oh my God, look at how cool that is. Like, I don't remember the last time I saw a commercial like that.
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's just like, I don't know. I see a lot of it where like they're using their kids like as content, and that gets into like a gray area for me personally.
Yeah, and you know what? That might be why I don't see a lot of it. It's probably because the kids don't watch a lot of TV. Everything they do is online.
Dude. Yeah,
everything is online.
Kids don't watch TV anymore, man. My son does, because you know we kind of make him. Like, I'm not just gonna have him sit in front of YouTube all the time. But then there's also some like really good, like educational content on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You know, where I can whenever I want pull up a show that teaches him about numbers or colors. You know what I mean?
True.
And then we can learn, you know, different things like that way. And it's a cool thing that wasn't around, obviously, when I was a kid. But
definitely wasn't around.
Let me find the rest of these questions now.
So you like how I derailed your segue into the Discord questions, and we talked for like another 20 minutes?
Yeah, but the joke's on you. Those were all Discord questions. So double reverse.
Was it? Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, the butt drumming from Moody and Chaotix question.
You managed to slip them in there like they weren't questions from people.
It's like I've been doing this for almost a year. So last time you were here, we talked about cars, right? And you had that really sweet race car.
Yes.
Frozen Kibble wanted to know, how would you feel about a One of Us racing team?
I mean, as long as it was responsible and did all of the racing at sanctioned areas, I would be for it.
So the One of Us Sunfire Racing League?
Yeah, exactly. It'll be the most boring racing league ever. It's like, look at all of that. Listen to all of that noise coming out of that car, and look at how slow it's going.
Just a pack of bumblebees.
The car's doing 5 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's summertime here, right? So like all the quote unquote race cars come out.
Yep.
And we live on kind of a main road, and you'll hear that every once in a while. We just hear, wah! Just like screaming. You look out the window, they're doing like 25 miles an hour.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is? It's like when you're, because most of those people are young, and like when you're young, you're like, I want to be cool. I want my car to be fast. But you can't afford a car that
for shit. Yeah.
So you're like, I'm gonna make my car look and sound fast, but it's not very fast.
Well, it was funny because I was thinking about that actually today, because I was like, you know, I should get some window tint for the truck, you know, just to kind of even out between the front and the back windows. And I was thinking of like looking at how much it costs. I'm like, it's like $100 to do the two windows in the truck. And I remember like window tint when I was a kid. Like, that was like a big investment that I saved up for.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like,
and now it's like, okay, that would be something that I just get because it's Friday. But like, I would be like, now I'm like, I want an exhaust system or something like that. And it'd be like $500-$600. That might be something I save up for.
And you know what's funny is in New Jersey, you can't do that legally. Tint.
What do you mean?
You cannot tint your windows.
No, you can't in New York either.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't mean a thing.
Yeah. So, like, I just remember the big thing back when I was in high school is like, dude, this is the way you do it. You got to go to the doctor. You got to tell him that you got a skin problem. Yeah. And you got to get the note. You get the note. And then when a cop pulls you over for your tinted windows, you show him the note. And then there's nothing he can do. And I was
everybody made it seem like it was so easy to go into the doctor and get them to write you a prescription for a window tint.
Yeah. I was like, dude, I could totally do this. And I never did it because I was like, how am I really going to bring that conversation up to my doctor? Which, who I've had since I'm like 4 or 5. I'm like, hey, doc, so I got really itchy skin. Like, I don't know. Like, what do I say here? Like, can you get me that prescription for the window tints? Like,
So I had window tint on my cars, like not like crazy, like can't see out of them type of stuff, but like I had tinted windows on like all of my cars when I was younger, and I got I think like one tint ticket, and so it wasn't bad. I mean, even then the tint ticket was like $50. But now I guess like, so we have motor vehicle inspection, and they added window tint as part of the motor vehicle inspection.
Oh, shit.
So they're like, if you have tinted windows, like you're going to fail inspection. So I was like, well, there goes like all the business for like the window tint agencies.
Yeah.
So all the shops that do window tint put out these deals, and they're like, we'll guarantee your inspection. And I'm like, how do you do that? Like, how do you guarantee that I'll pass inspection? He goes, bring it back before you go to inspection. He goes, we'll rip it off. He goes, and then bring it back the day after. We'll put it back on. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like,
no shit.
But it's probably cheaper for them to offer that than like just not get any business, you know?
True, because how many people are really coming back to do that before their inspection? That's a gamble they're willing to make, I'm guessing.
Yeah, right.
Well, here's the cool thing too, is that I've been trying to get this company called SPD Smart Glass to sell me some of their product for years. They won't do it. I've been nagging them, calling them, all kinds of different reasons why I'm calling them and trying to get them to sell it to me. But it's still too new that I think that they will only deal with mass market consumer, like a gigantic company like Mercedes or something.
Yeah.
But it's so basically, have you ever seen like those bathroom stalls that like, or even like office glass that like they flip a switch and it goes opaque?
Yeah, like electromagnetically controlled or something like that.
Yeah. So basically, it's a liquid crystal display technology that they use for this, and it's that exact thing, but with window tint and variable. So like you can, when it's energized, the window is clear. When it's not energized, the window is tinted. But you can also use a dial to dial that percentage in. So you could technically go from like really, really dark to a mid level, depending on where you put that, like
and then dial. turn that shit off when the cops show up.
Exactly. So that has been my plan for like years now that I've been trying to get this off of these people. Like I can absolutely wire it up. It's not a complicated circuit. So I'm just like, listen, just sell me the film. Like if it's a film that I can put on my window, just sell it to me.
Oh, it's just a film?
Well, the way they manufacture it, they've been putting it in glass, but I've seen it done with film. Usually the film is on off though. It's not variable. I think the variable is cooler, obviously, because you can choose whatever tint level you feel like having for that day. Like it's all on a potentiometer. But they just they won't sell it to me. They just ignore me every time I call or email.
Like, interesting.
It's fucking pissing me off. I've been trying to get it for years. But I think that's the coolest fucking window tint. Like they include it in all kinds of they have it in all kinds of high priced jets, like jetliners, like private jets and stuff like that. You can control the window tints on those things. And actually some very high priced Mercedes, I think, include that technology in their cars. But I've been dying to get my hands on it, and you can't do it. Like it's just fucking, it's silly at this point, because it's not a complicated technology. It's almost similar to the film that they put on those PC cases to do a screen. It's very similar to that. It's less complicated than that, because they're not trying to do individual pixels. They're just fucking the whole layer is gone. But one of these days, I'm going to get my hands on that shit, and that'll be fucking cool. Like, I'm just waiting for that day for a cop to pull me over for tinted windows, and then when he walks up and the windows are not tinted, he's just like, wait, does not compute. I saw tinted windows when I pulled you over.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never tinted my windows before.
Exactly, because there's no way that fucking cop knows about that shit.
Anything else from the community or anything like that we should discuss?
I don't know. Let's see what's going on.
I'm reviewing Rob's state of the community address.
Okay.
I think we got everything covered. Channel One of Us obviously is still running.
Yeah.
We will see some downtime obviously when my basement gets done and I start moving that across.
Yep.
There is a form to apply for to get on the host list. So if you go into the giveaway section, scroll up to Rob's most recent message. He has the form in there. He also mentioned that one of us is expanding to Twitch. Obviously, two of the founding members, myself and Toolator, have started to spearhead initiative to spread the community love over to Twitch.
Whoop
whoop. It's been pretty awesome so far. I know Tool's been doing really well. My streams have been pretty crazy over there. And we've been finding a lot of new people that have been joining the community. So we're taking over the world.
I love that, honestly. I just, you know what the thing that sucks is, like, I'm so out of the Twitch world now, like, that, like, I don't have any notifications for it still. So, like, I don't ever see when you and Tool go live. Like, this week was the first time I was like, oh shit, you know, like, I don't get to watch a lot of streams in general, honestly.
Yeah.
But since when I travel, I do, because all I do at the hotel is watch different streams.
Yeah,
and drink and just fuck around and chat. But this was the first week I was like, let me go fucking check Twitch, because I don't know what's going on. And I managed to catch a Tool stream and say hi to him, so that was fun.
But nice.
I still had my Mixer name as, like, something very, very or my Twitch name is something very, very generic, and he was like, what's up with that fucking name? I was like, okay, I'm going to change it. So I went, and I tried to change it to Whiskey Tango, and it was taken.
What?
Whiskey _ Tango was taken on Twitch, so I was like, oh, fuck it.
It's got to be you. You got drunk and made a Twitch account one night, and you don't remember it.
I definitely didn't. I already had a Twitch account. I know, because I had it all saved in my autofill forms, so I never log into that. I don't even know what my password is for Twitch.
Wow.
But I just changed my name to People's Partner on Twitch.
I'm going to go find that person and call him out someday.
I know. Be like, what the fuck, man? You're not the real Whiskey Tango.
So you changed your name to what?
People's Partner.
Oh my god, of course. Why wouldn't you?
Tool was loving it. He was like, oh my god, you changed your name to People's Partner. But yeah, it's cool. I like that Twitch is part of this community now. I think it really matches with our key core values, which is that we are all inclusive. And I know I've talked shit before, but it was always in jest. I always just like to, you know, be in that dick.
You gotta have a little fun. Little fun.
But I will say that I'm excited for the possibilities that Twitch opens for this community.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool, man. And I'm still, like, I'm in the same boat. Like, I haven't been on Twitch in over a year. So it's like I'm kind of building, like, finding my channels again and finding a lot of new people, like, in the Destiny community especially, that I didn't know of before I moved over there. And I found some really, really fucking cool people over there. It's kind of cool.
And speaking of Destiny, that's a cool thing. Like, Twitch does have some cool advantages. Like, I remember catching one of your Destiny 2 streams where Twitch allowed a module that was allowing me to see your exact character sheet. Like, it had all of your Destiny character shit, and I could just, like, browse through it and see, like, your power level, your weapon setups. Like, that was really freaking cool. And, like,
and that's it updates almost immediately. Like, it's so like, yeah. So, like, obviously Twitch is a little bit older than Mixer. Like, it's got some features built in that obviously aren't on Mixer yet, but one of them is extensions, and they've got a whole library of extensions, just like you would have extensions for Chrome. In fact, I've got one up there now that has the Amazon logo, because I recently got affiliate status with Amazon.
Oh, nice.
And you can click on the Amazon logo and it shows, like, my whole, like, it scrolls, like, images of, like, my whole PC setup, like, all the peripherals I use, everything like that. And you can click on them and go to those pages, and that would actually be considered, like, an affiliate link. And it, like, anything people buy from that, which is right on my video display, would you know, pays back to me and, like, helps us support the channel, which is really cool.
That is really cool.
There's a lot of really cool tools on Twitch that allow you to kind of create your content however you want.
That is really nice. Actually, I just remembered something I wanted to say on the podcast. I don't remember if if Rob had been spearheading it or not, but there's a generic OOU coin that I made, and that was for community members. So people who were not necessarily part of the team but wanted to support and show support on their streams.
So you're talking about the spinning coins that all the team members have right now.
Correct. This is a generic version of that that has just one of us on both sides. It doesn't have any person's logo on the other side like most of the team members. But it does do like some, if they wanted to include it, the interactions, it does like spin faster and grow. It doesn't have any particle effects or anything like that, because those are reserved for team members. But
I mean, to be fair, my mind doesn't have particle effects either.
Oh my God, are you serious?
I don't remember who I was talking to about. Oh, I think I was talking to Chaotic one time on her stream, and she was like, she was showing off like the particle effects of her face popping out of the coin. I go, yeah, it must be nice to have particle effects on your coin.
I feel so bad. I totally remember when you sent me some images now too. It was a long fucking time ago.
It was. I forgot all about it. Like it's not even a big issue, but it's just funny.
No, I'm gonna make that a priority. You gotta get some particle effects.
So is that generic coin like hosted somewhere that people can get to it?
I think it's not out there for anyone. So I think it's those people who show that they support the core values of our Discord and our team. Okay. So I think it's something that we have to give to select people, because granted, we love everyone that's in this Discord, but there's a lot of people in here. So you can't vet every single person that's in here. So we don't want to just put it out there for any person that jumps in the Discord for a day to grab. Because they could use it and kind of sully our name in a sense. You know, we don't want that. We want people who are genuinely supporting the values of what we believe in here, which is all inclusive, and generally not causing drama, which is surprisingly what we have been able to achieve here for the most part. Yeah. But you know, it's I don't remember what happened with it. I know I made it. I know I sent it out there either to Rob or whoever, but I think we need to circle back on that and see if we can start giving that to some people. If you're listening to this podcast right now, go ahead and throw that in what chat? What would be a good chat for that to say? Like, just request it or something like that.
I don't know. We could probably make a channel for coin requests.
Maybe. Yeah, let's just throw it out there in Gen Chat or something for now. If you're listening to this podcast and you're interested in it, throw it out there.
Tag Whiskey Tango. Let him know that you would like a coin.
Tag me, and we'll see what we can do about getting that coin out there to some people. Because I don't know if we've been giving it out to anyone yet, and I think that's a cool thing that we could include on people's streams that want to use it.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I dig it. All right, man. Well, we're a little bit over an hour. Let's call it there. I think we covered pretty much everything going on and then some.
Did we? Did we cover everything? I don't know. Like, I'm pretty sure I can think of some more shit to keep us going for like another 30 minutes.
Let's go. I mean, what do you got?
Oh no,
what
I'm not going to
for dinner tonight.
I'm not gonna keep you up. It's fine. I'm just
No, dude. Again, I thank you so much for coming on and doing this. These are fun. I think
I love it. It's a great
time. I think
time.
Monthly ones of these would be a good time.
I think so. I think once a month is just enough. People will be sick of me of any more if we did more than once a month. So.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'd be sick of you if we did more than once a month. But all right. Well, why don't you remind everybody where to find you, where they can find the new show, and all that good stuff.
I mean, if you are so inclined, you can find me on mixer.com/whiskey_tango. August 22nd, I'm going to be doing that tango talk. It's probably going to suck, but I know don't some people are looking it. Forward to it, but we'll see how it turns out. It'll be a learning experience. You guys can join me on that ride. But how about you tell us where we can find you, because I don't know. I don't think you get to put your name out there enough. So you have recently switched to Twitch, right?
Yeah, I'm on Twitch, Instagram, and Facebook at Rock City Roller. YouTube at Rock City Roller TV, and Twitter at Rock City Roller 1.
And RockCityRoller.com. Don't forget your blog.
And RockCityRoller.com. Yeah, check out the blog. And actually, like, that website, the homepage is the blog, but, like, my live stream's embedded in there. Like, Instagram's embedded in there. You can actually listen to this podcast directly from the website. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff on there.
That's cool.
All right, dude. Well, I guess we'll get out of here. And until next time, this has been the One of Us Community Podcast. Bye.
Bye.